Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Artie Kornfeld.
Well, hello, everybody. Good night. Good morning, wherever you are. In Hong Kong, I hope you're having a good lunch. Welcome to the Spirit Show. You know, spirit could be anything. You know, you call the show Spirit of the Woodstock Nation. You know what? Let's see. Let me think back. 43 years ago, Michael was up on the field. I was in New York and traveling the country and trying to get things together on the promotion side. And you know what? It's different now. We still have the spirit. I want you to know that out there, you know. Just because we're down financially and this 1% is sort of controlling us in a way, and you know, we can still, by just hanging in, you know, and just keeping the spirit and the memory and helping your brothers and sisters, you know, and getting out and voting, it'd be as big of an event as Woodstock. This election is historical because, in my opinion, it tells what happens if the United States is over or not. So anyway, welcome to the Spirit of the Woodstock Nation. We do have it. I'm very happy that one became available, and I have Christopher Staniforth coming on after we play their first song. It's just sort of strange. Yeah, I have the Spirit of Woodstock. We all do. Anybody there? The good thing is in my travels, and I've been around, you know, in other countries, the younger kids, the high school kids, the college kids, you know, they really, because they've been studying in history, so they really into what Woodstock stood for, you know, and to me, it's a great victory and a great hang-up, you know, but I am so glad we were all there together, and we're all here together now, so thank you, whatever you believe in, just say thank you. Here we are, you know, with a band that fits just the way I feel tonight. And let's just check in on if you could only see, and I'm going to bring out Christopher after.
Now I've been a size.
Kornfeld, and I'd like to introduce Christopher Staniforth to a couple hundred thousand people. Hello, and this is Christopher. Hey, Chris.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
You know.
And Artie.
Yeah, really, you know, it's so weird. You know, I told Chris, well, it's mine, because my original name for Woodstock was going to be one. You know, and you know, when the band came across, and with the point of view of the lyrics, so check out the lyrics when you listen. It's a good night to rock, enjoy yourself, think, and go back tomorrow. And instead of being down, let's just go get them. Let's just get them back in our way. You know, just keep it going. You know, keep the spirit of rock and roll going, and keep the spirit of righteousness going.
Yes, sir.
When did this band come together?
Oh, I'd say many moons ago. It wasn't that many moons ago. Danny and I were in a couple of bands together, learning how to play and learning how to perform a couple of bands years and years ago. And then we sat down and decided we wanted to write our own music, I would say 2001. And we started doing a couple of gigs, this and that, and we started getting serious, and we sat down, and you know, I guess it was 2001 when we came up with the name One. So it's been about 11 years that this has been going, but seriously, like really doing it and really taking it seriously and giving it all we got, it's been since about 2005.
Yeah, it's a push, and there's only one way to do it if you're a musician, if you're a writer, and you want to make a point, and that's to do it. You could talk about it, but you got to do it.
True story.
When I heard your stuff, I figured that you did it. You know, that's why I liked it so much. Fit where my head was at today. You know. You have, what do you think about what's going on? First of all, Danny, good job writing on this stuff and playing, by the way, and everybody else in the band. Who's in the band?
There's myself, there's Danny Rossi, the singer, or AKA The Money, we call him. There's Phil Hardy as a bass player, and Rudy Acquinel as a drummer.
Hey, AKA, my initials are Artie Kornfeld. Does that mean you send me 50 grand tomorrow? So I have to whip myself to like a slave. Yeah, back to slave times. God Almighty, I'm a slave to being here. No, I'm not. I'm happy I'm here. You know, I could say that I am not. I'm not sorry. Now that's not a cue to play sorry, Z-Man.
Because right.
I know Z-Man was going to jump right in on sorry. Yeah, he was ready to go. You know, why'd you write this? I heard the song. Why'd you write the song? Sorry, I'm just curious.
Well, it's an emotional song. You know, every song that we write, you know, has a story behind it. But, you know, it's always, I don't want to say metaphorical, but it can be taken in a number of ways. The video kind of give it away, but, you know, it's a happy little sad love song, if I can be oxymoronic. But it's about relationships, and it's about hardships, and it's about getting through them, and, you know, knowing when to say sorry.
Yeah, you could be an oxymoron, and I could be octopolar. I'm not bipolar, I'm octopolar.
That's different.
Which means I freeze 8 times. So anyway, I really am sorry.
Just see, I'm sorry for all that I've done. These days go by. Back if I could. I got lost in your eyes. What?
Spirit, welcome to the spirit of the Woodstock Nation. Welcome to the spirit of that we got through today. Welcome to the spirit that we're going to get off ass and get active in this election. What do you think about what's going on, Chris? You know, what do you think about what's going on to this country right now and the world?
Wow.
That's like an hour question, right?
Yeah, that's a big question. I'll make it as short as I can.
I think
that people have lost their values. I think people forgot what's important, and I think that the world is so distracted by everything else that goes on that they forgot what really is important. You know, family values and sticking together. You know, and funny enough. And I was telling Danny, I think, or I could have been telling all the guys, you know, in one of our many long treks across the country, that it's funny that, you know, 10, 11 years ago, when none of this was really going on, or right before it all started, we named this band, and it really was about unity. I mean, the name of the band came together about unity. You know, we weren't standing for something, you know, like Woodstock did. I mean, Woodstock was, you know, revolutionary, but we were just trying to be unified. We were trying to be four guys that, you know, that wrote music and delivered it together. So, I mean, the fact that we're called one and what's going on in the world, I mean, everybody just needs to really stand together to get what we need and what we want, but it's just not happening.
Yeah. No, I relate because I was the partner. In fact, even Elliot Tiber, not that I liked the book, and I didn't do an interview for the movie The Taking of Woodstock, he said that I was the spiritual one of the four. You know, I felt the same way, you know, and what you're doing is exactly what I did because, you know, what am I really? I'm a cops kid from Brooklyn and I'm a singer and a songwriter. Those 8 months did not say what I am, you know, they just, it turned into 43 years and I think to everybody out there, they have the same feeling I do. They, you know, what Woodstock represented is everything you're talking about. One, in fact, when I describe the concert, I say, all of a sudden, after the rainstorm, everybody united under the thread, you know, and no one got really hurt or anything. It was a miracle, you know, and all of a sudden, it was one. And who was on stage? I was busy doing my trip, and it was just being part of one, the same as a guy sitting on the field. I felt the total connection of everybody, you know, and that's what we sort of need now. That's why the show is on. That's why I keep the show on. You know, with Z-Man, and it's also to give good bands a chance to be heard that don't get heard because of the ridiculous system at commercial radio, you know, where you can't basically do a promotion unless you have a couple hundred grand, you know.
So the
funny thing is we probably get more listeners than the 10 biggest radio shows that are on, probably much more than that. So the thing is good, and you're helping, you know, spread it around today. So you decided Never Lift Feet. That's funny, because I wrote a song with a man named Marty Kaplan called Yesterday's Children, and you wrote a song, Never Lift Feet, Yesterday. So they believe in yesterday, and you say Never Lift Feet, Yesterday. So We should have had I Believe in Yesterday and gone right into Never Live for Yesterday. have the battle of the Beatles and won. Anyway, here we go, trucking along. What about? Do you get into the feeling about, yes, there really is global warming, and yes, things are not really right, and yes, we are running out of food? Do you ever get those thoughts?
You know what? Everything has become about money. And you know, we say global warming. We say, you know, that we're killing the planet. Yeah, we're killing the planet. But this whole green movement, you know, when somebody's charging me 5 cents at a grocery store for a bag, I have a hard time believing it's about, you know, it's about going green. I think everything's about money. You know, that's the beauty about music. It really is, you know, is about getting back to the roots. And when people are under one roof listening to a band play, no matter where it is, it's not about money. You might have paid money to get in because everybody, you know, has to eat and the machine has to continue to roll. But, you know, those moments are not about money. They're about something a lot bigger and a lot stronger. So, you know, everything that's going on in the world, you know, is not about the right thing. It's not about the right value, you know, and that's why I'm happy in this day and age that I'm a musician, because it keeps us grounded and it keeps us, you know, in touch with what's important. I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah, we're all sort of connected because we all know what we all know the climb. Well, you know, mine was sort of rapid, and you're quite a bit younger than me, I would imagine. No, I'm 26. How old are you? 12, right?
Woodstock was yesterday, right? No, 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's today. Every effing day. Every effing day it is. It is. If you see the emails and Facebook, you know. Although Facebook, I must admit, I did make some good friends on Facebook.
No, without a doubt. Reconnecting.
Yeah, it really is. You know, so what Chris and Ben wrote, I think you wrote it together, was Never Live for Yesterday. It's really good. What do I think about that? I'm trying to figure it out. It's like the Beatles, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. I'm still trying to figure it out exactly. Never Live for Yesterday. That's right, you know. Anybody who read my book, The Pied Piper of Woodstock, knows about the loss of my wife and child and, you know, my battle with drugs and all that stuff, you know. That ended 29 years ago. You know, thank God that ended, you know. But, you know, beware of what you're watching on TV. Have you been watching, do you ever watch MSNBC?
Oh, very rarely. I'm not a big TV guy. I don't watch the news too much because it's all bad. So I watch some sports, but I don't watch very much TV. I watch a little bit on the road, but very, very rare.
Yeah. I sort of have to. Caroline is my lady, and Caroline, I guess actually we actually are husband and wife. It's where they get 8 years, and I think 7 years, like, you know, they secretly tie a knot. But we tied the knot on the second kiss 8.5 years ago, you know, so never live for yesterday. Never live for yesterday, everybody.
Where do I begin? Can I let you in? When a whisper seems so loud, tell me, where do we go now? I wanted you so bad, like all the things I never had. I need Sorry.
spirit, yeah, spirit of the Woodstock Nation. I'm proud of it. So what the heck? Yeah, welcome to the Spirit of the Woodstock Nation show with Juan and Christopher Stanifer here with me. Chris, let me ask you a question. What's the best? Do you ever go to concerts?
Oh yeah, I've been to a ton of them.
What was your favorite concert that you saw this year?
My favorite concert this year or of all time?
What's the best concert you've seen out of all time?
Oh, the best concert I've seen was the Metallica return to Montreal after James Hetfield nearly died on stage at the stadium during the riot here in 92. They came back and played the arena here, and they played for almost 3 hours, and they played so long and so hard that I was fed up. You know, I was having such a blast, but I was just so, they totally drained me. And they taught me that night what a live show is supposed to be all about.
You're talking about Metallica?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what's so weird? Are you talking about the show at the Oakland?
No, the show at the Olympic Stadium in Montreal when you got burnt, when the pyrotechnic went off. And
yeah, that tour, I was running everything on that for Queensryche, and Queensryche, Soundgarden and Metallica played the Oakland baseball field, you know, in Oakland.
Really?
And my stepson, I snuck a tape recorder in my underwear because I went in with the executives, and actually, I almost reached for my, you know what, you know, and he almost got nailed me. Then Sean disappeared into the crowd, so I'm sitting up with all the executives, and they're all drinking. I don't drink, you know, when they're eating their cocktail hot dogs, and you know, so I said, I want to go find out what's going on in that mosh pit down there. And I spent about 7 minutes, and after I saw six or seven guys go down from kickboxing, I said, I shouldn't be here. I should not be here, you know. But to tell you the truth, Hatfield, you mentioned Hatfield. Naturally, my son's a guitar player, and he loved Hatfield. So after the show, they had a meet and greet, and it was 45 minutes, and they were on a lecture, and my band wasn't on a lecture. So the first person that Hatfield, I said to the head of a lecture, hey, I want my stepson to talk to him first. What happened is he liked my stepson, and they started talking about where'd you get your shades, what strings are you using. They took up the whole 45 minutes, and they were all these, you know, disc jockeys and program directors and people that, you know, that the record company wanted to be there. And it was sort of like, you know, I didn't get a lot of work from a lecture for a couple of months. Anyway, they tore up the whole outfield. That was the one where they tore up the outfield, and the promoter had to spend $1.5 million to resod the whole outfield. It was pretty wild. The show was good, and Metallica was great. And the guys in Queensryche were great, too. I didn't know the Soundgarden guys, you know, but the guys in Queensryche were great. Hatfield was really beautiful, really, you know. I never thought I would really get off on the show. How they kept their head going that back and forth for that long is one of the miracles of all time. Let's see, what was my favorite concert? Well, I guess my favorite weekend naturally was in August of 1969, and my favorite concert was sort of sad because it was the last show, and I'm friends with Paul Simon, and it was the show that Simon and Garfunkel broke up, and it was very emotional. But for some reason, it meant a lot to me because I had watched them grow up, and to see them split up was really heavy, especially in the trailer after. Oddly enough, it was a negative thing, you know, but it was a very special show, you know. And also, Derek and the Dominoes at the Fillmore was incredible. You know, that's when I first met Eric. And you know, so never live for yesterday. Let me ask you something. Who is the queen of rock and roll that you refer to in your song?
Be funny that you asked that.
Do I know him?
No. There is no actual queen of rock and roll. It's kind of, the song was written about the show experience. You know, the girl that will go out to the concert and want, you know, she wants to be the queen that night. You know, she wants to be. Everybody wants to be noticed. You know, Artie. Everybody wants to be recognized. And you know, when girls recognize band guys, you know, and I'm grateful for that. I think we all are. But, you know, the girl that goes out and sees the guys and wants to be noticed by the guys, and whether it happens sometimes or sometimes it doesn't. And but it's not about one girl in particular. It's about them all, because we love them all.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't mind being noticed, because I get noticed with a lot of love, you know, and it's because of Woodstock, and I get a lot of love, you know. Sometimes I just want to not even be noticed at all, because, you know, I just want to sink in and hide, you know.
Yeah, no,
but I get a lot of love when I'm noticed. But you know what? I hardly ever go out unless it's to the studio, or unless it's on a cause, or unless it's to a meeting. You know, those who know what I'm talking about know what a meeting is. Not that I want to break my anonymity, but meetings could be a good thing for people, you know. Actually, we're meeting tonight. It's a good thing, you know. So the queen of rock and roll, where is she at? The queen of rock and roll. Was it a girl or a guy? That is the question.
Freddie Mercury could have put up an argument for that one. Actually, the whole band could have. But no, they're the ladies. You know, we love our guy fans and guy friends as much as the next guy. But we love the ladies.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. What was your favorite performance that you guys did?
Oh, that's a good question. We have done a few. We played for the USO in Jacksonville on two different occasions. That was pretty special to be invited, you know, on a naval base and play outdoors on the beach for I don't know how many thousands of people. And to do it, you know, for military appreciation, being Canadian and all, that was pretty amazing. We've played a bunch of other shows that were kind of mind-blowing. Some of the shows we've done back here at home have been pretty amazing, too. You know, we can argue that, you know, Canada doesn't love us, but, you know, there are moments where our hometown shows us that they're still there for us, so that's pretty cool, too. I'll be honest with you, every show that we play now is starting to become, you know, a pretty special night because we're getting a little bigger and the crowds are getting a little bigger and the people that we've met, you know, are always there to support us and the crowds are growing and the fans who originally started supporting us have become friends and extended family. So, you know, the whole, it's not becoming a huge rock band, I think, or when you get there, that the most important thing is enjoying the process. And, you know, we're a band that enjoys the process of becoming something or somebody's, you know, because it's the process that's important. You know, it's the traveling and the meeting the new people and the new faces and home cooked meals with complete strangers who become extended family is what, you know, being in a band is all about. And I'm sure any band that's made it to the top has stories similar. So,
yeah, I didn't like the 12-hour, you know, in those days, a tour bus was a school bus, unless you were the headline act, you know, and that means, you know, sitting in and playing cards all night long and then having to get on stage, you know, it's pretty bizarre, you know. But it's great. It's wonderful. God, thank God I got to do all that stuff. Man, you know, with all the tragedy, you know, yes, I've had tragedy in my life, and what blessings I have. So I look at how filled the glass is. I don't look at how empty it is. That's a good thing for everybody out there. I know you've heard it, but with the situation we're in with everybody, including me, really fighting to meet their nut, you know, to make it through, keep your kids going, whatever the story is. It's good to just remember that, you know, just to, you know, we got to, you know, to stick together. The spirit of the Woodstock Nation, you know, and it does exist, and we have that, you know. And I'm glad that the young kids and the college kids are so into it, and I'm glad they put it in the school books, you know. And you know, they won't remember my name, but 500 years, they'll remember that. Our whole generation and your generation, because you're as much a part of Woodstock as I am, and I really believe that. You know, the once to come was why it happened, was to give the once to come a proof that it can be done. You know, you can't copy that. I wouldn't try. My ex-partners tried twice and failed. I wouldn't try. You know, that's a miracle thing, you know. A lot of work and, you know, a lot of sweat, but that's a miracle thing. And it's the same with getting a band together, you know. Where what city were you in when you did your longest set? What was your longest set you played?
Our longest set, about 3.5 hours. We just lost track of time and just kept playing, and the crowd was so good, energy was so good that you don't look at the time, you stop clock watching, you know. And, you know, headlining usually means you're shutting the place down, you know. And because it was an early show, we just kept playing and playing and playing. And, you know, it wasn't until, you know, the last chord was hit that we realized that we had no energy or time left. But we would have kept playing that night, too, if we had any material. But we don't really look at the clock. It's all about the energy in the room. Everything is about energy. You know, the energy that fans give back to us and stuff. But, yeah, I think it was about 3.5 hours.
Yeah, even this moment's all about the energy.
Definitely.
The funny thing is I could feel people in different countries, even Ecuador, because people listen in Ecuador, and I could feel them with us, you know. And they have the same, they're probably facing the same situations that we're facing here in America. Canada, by the way, Canada was, you know, I was involved with the, God, I had a lot of acts in Canada, Triumph, Tragically Hip, Paper Wine, you know. So I was some good bands from Canada.
Legendary.
They were, you know. Guy, April Wine was called the Carnival Connection when I met him, and I signed him to Mercury, and I had to drive go to Montreal when I was freezing. I couldn't believe it was like 30 below, you know. It was like, you know, they were playing in a high school, and I had to drive for 2 hours with no heat. And, you know, it reminds me of the Beatles talking about when they came back from Hamburg or whatever, and it was freezing, and they slept on top of each other, and whoever was on the bottom got warm. It's one of the Beatles stories, so I happen to know. I was lucky enough to be friends with both Paul and John at different times, actually separately, because both together wouldn't have been fun, but individually, I'm really glad I got to meet him that way, you know, and I'm glad I got to hang with John, you know, and Paul was really fun, you know, what can I tell you, he was a great guy, and probably still is, you know, we're in different worlds, you know.
Pretty amazing, you got to meet all these people.
Yeah, but you know what? Tonight we get to meet a lot of people, too, and that's pretty amazing also. You know, when D-Man hits me with the numbers, I just go, why? You got to be kidding, because I'm always sure there's 12 people out there. And you know what? It would be the same show anyway. It wouldn't really matter. If one person had it made their day better.
Exactly.
You know, it'd be worth it, wouldn't it? Somebody got to rescue people, someone, because someone is calling, rescue me, rescue me. Everybody rescued. Yeah, this is a rescue mission tonight. Welcome to the mission. The mission, 1 foot beneath sea level, where I am. It's really strange that where I'm living now in Palm Beach County was cooler than up north. I mean, I couldn't believe we're in the 80s and up north in the 90s. It's so bizarre.
It is.
You know, and that's a lot about what behind what you, because you guys have a mission too. It's not just music. You guys have a mission, you know, and I know that. You know, I know it by what I hear, and I know it by talking to you. It's funny, you said your longest I had on TC, the organ player from the Dead, and their longest show was at the Winter Garden. They played 13 hours.
13 hours? How's that even possible?
Yeah, well, because they never rehearsed. You know, it's a great show. It's in the log. Anybody wants to hear it with Tompkins Stanton the last time we interviewed him when he talked about on you know being with the Dead and what it was like. They never rehearsed. You know, it was just they never rehearsed. You know, they just played and then all of a sudden they go off in a direction and play something else that they didn't even know they'd write songs on stage while they were performing. You know, that's why they were the Dead. I wasn't a Deadhead, but I sure liked a couple of guys in the band. Actually, hung with Garcia and Hart at Woodstock a lot. Rescue Me. So here we are, getting towards the end of the show, and strangely enough, as cosmic time goes, so do we, because I said, here we are, and the last song that we're going to play tonight, you know, by one, is Here We Are. And Chris, where do you get your stuff? Where do people get the music?
The best place would be go to our website. Our website is pretty much a one-stop shop for everything. It's onetheband.com. So it's onetheband.com. And you can find our songs there, our albums there, our Facebook is there, our YouTube is there, Twitter is there, everything's there. So
the tour is there. Yeah, I also noticed you put up like one of those Canadian pharmacies that sends medications into the United States. So that was really smart to do.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, really. I'm sure there's a lot of Cialis comes from your office.
Yeah. You got to make a buck where you can. You know?
Well, you know, you got to get people to stand up and.
We're trying to stay away from getting people to stand up in that way. If you know what I'm talking about, you know.
Well, you know what, Chris, you're going to stay on after this, and usually I play a go-out song, which I'm not going to play, because we're going to just go out with Here We Are. Everybody, you know what? What's amazing is Here We Are, and, you know, we're enjoying ourselves. I hope you are. I am, and great night, and thank you so much, Chris. Really appreciate it. Thank the guys.
Thank you for having me and for having us. Greatly appreciated. Yeah. I felt like I should have been interviewing you, actually.
Well, you know what? It takes two, baby, me and you, and that's the way it goes. And here we are. We'll be right back.
are listening to the Artist First Radio Network.